Hey, I'm losing my mind. I was sitting there and I thought, oh, I don't have my microphone. That's all right, I'll just use the podium. And I reached down to pick up my Bible and there's my microphone. So I brought it over and didn't realize it. A short sermon. Should there be anyone here tonight who desires to respond? I have threatened to do that, but that's not going to be it. I don't know how many people have come up to me and said words to the effect, I wish the Packers were playing tonight because we would really have a short sermon. It does my heart good to think we have that many people interested in watching the Packers play football. Actually, it doesn't do my heart all that much good. But you forget the Packers have been here more than once. And the sermon was not shortened. It was normal. And people were disappointed. And I've had a lot of people say, are you going to do it? Can you do it short? Very quick? And some are even a little disappointed that what I started with was not the real thing. And We'll have a short sermon, but one I hope that'll be beneficial and meaningful to us. If you've already looked ahead at the outline, then you know where it's going. But if you haven't, you're going to have a little bit of the ability to think about something that I think it would be good for you to think about before you look at the outline and before you saw what was there. What would you think the sermon would be if you were to deliver a short one-sentence sermon? What would it be? There are a lot of them in the Bible. There are a lot of things that we need to know and we need to remember. But the one that comes to mind most especially is this one in Acts chapter 27 and verse 25. When Paul is on board the ship that is now in danger, and there is concern that nobody on that ship is going to make it alive, then Paul comes to the individuals that are sailing with him, and he says this, therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Been told means that an angel of God appeared to him and told him what was going to happen and gave him the conditions under which they would happen. And the promise was, meeting the conditions, and we'll look at that a little bit more when we study Acts, not a single person on board that ship would be lost. Not a single person would lose their life. And then Paul tells the men, I want you to take courage. Because I believe God, it will turn out exactly as I have been told. I got to thinking about that verse in preparation, and knowing that Luke was the writer of the book of Acts, I thought about all the verses in the Bible where that thought is expressed, and there are so many of them. But I thought, why don't I just go to Luke and just start reading and see how many I find? And for the purpose of our lesson tonight, I didn't get past chapter 2. And I want you to look with me at some of these verses. Just open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. And I want you to notice some of these verses where the background is this exact thing. We'll start with this section in verses 1 through 4. Where Luke writes to Theophilus and he says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of all things accomplished, surely convicted of, most certainly occurred, of all the things that have been accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, the apostles. Same people, Peter tells us, don't quit listening to. Same people, the writer of Hebrews says, this is how we get our information. Same group that John says what we say is truth. And anyone who disagrees with what we say is in error. It seemed fitting to me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught. Then look at verse 4. Look at verse 6. Talking about John's parents. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. When God wanted to compliment a couple, when God wanted to describe how they appeared in His sight, and He describes them as righteous, the characteristic of their life is they listened to what He said. Verses 16 and 17. And He will turn back many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is He who will go as a forerunner before Him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is what the angel said to Zechariah about what John was going to do. What does it mean when it says He will turn the disobedient back to the attitude of the righteous? Back to listening to God. Back to paying attention to what He says. 18 and 20. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you didn't believe what I said, because you didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." 35 through 37. The angel answered and said to her, and this is Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Let the words of Paul ring in your ear. After every one of them, "I believe it will be exactly as God has said." Then we go to chapter 1, look at verse 45. And this is what Elizabeth says to Mary. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Blessed is the person. Blessed are you in particular, Mary, who believes that it will turn out exactly as the Lord has said. And then, 68 through 70. Zacharias again speaking. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, His servant." And we might also could add, "and has brought our Savior to birth through a virgin," and all the other hundreds of prophecies made about the Christ. After he says this in verse 68 and 69, he writes in verse 70, or he speaks in verse 70, "as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old." Everything is happening just as God said that it would. Chapter 2. Verse 15 and verse 20 go together. Verse 15 is when the angels appeared to the shepherds. And the angels had gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And they go. And you drop down to verse 20. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. It happened exactly as God said. And then in chapter 2, verse 26, this is the time when Jesus goes to the temple so that they can present the sacrifice in order to purify Mary from her uncleanness. And it had been revealed to him, and this is Simon who was there in the temple, an old man. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Then you drop down to 29 and 30. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. And this is not all of them, just in these two chapters. But what would it be like if we went through the entire Bible and looked at every verse that made reference to the statement Paul made on board that ship? It will turn out just like the Lord said that it would. And you think of all the prophecies that were made, all the promises God made, all the things God accomplished and all the things God said, and all the things God did, and the Bible is filled with it. And so a short sermon is this one sentence that the Apostle Paul delivers. Jesus adds to it. Oh, wait. No, I went through that one. Y'all just didn't go. John 10:35, a question comes up. Where the individuals, Pharisees, were accusing Jesus of blasphemy because he said he was the Son of God. And he says, you accuse me of blasphemy because I declare I'm the Son of God? Doesn't the Scripture say they are gods? Talking about those to whom the written word had come. And the context of the passage is literally the judges, who were to judge individuals based on the law. And they had been given the law, and they were to judge the people based on the law. And they were, in fact, representatives of God, speaking God's word and giving God's judgment based on his law. And they are called gods. Jesus says, have you never read in the scripture that those to whom the word of God came were called gods? And the scripture cannot be broken. It will be exactly as God has said, and what God has described is exactly the truth. And so if the scripture calls them gods to whom the word of God came, why do you say I'm blaspheming when I came from God himself? It will be exactly as God has spoken. Here's the hard part and the serious part, and it's a question. Do I believe that? Do I believe that God's forgiveness will be exactly as he has spoken? Do I believe that God's word will be exactly as he has spoken? Do I believe it will be exactly as God has said? Do I live knowing it will be as God has said, or hoping that it will not be as God has said? Am I living my life hoping I'm an exception and that for me, what God has said will not be important? Or am I living my life knowing it will be as God has said? And to me, the sentence sums up faith. Faith in the God who has spoken. And every Christian ought to be in agreement and ought to say. But then we have to look at our life and say, is that how I'm living? But every Christian ought to be able to be in agreement and say, I believe with all of my heart, it will be exactly as God has said. And thus we live our life. And that's part of the reason you're here tonight. Are you in Christ? Do you need to come home to Him? We offer you His invitation as together we stand and as we sing.